All right, Giants baseball coming up. Marty Lurie here, joined by Mark Zuckerman, not Facebook. I said Mark Zuckerman of Masson Sports, and he covers the Washington Nationals. Mark, great to see you.
Great to see you too, Marty. And it's been an interesting week here in town. I've come close to trying to check out my headquarters there. They wouldn't let me through the gate, even after I showed my ID, unfortunately.
He gets confused quite often, let me tell you that. Well, the Nationals, of course, play the Giants three games this week. And the Nats are a team that's struggling right now, and we don't really get to see a lot of them. We think of the Nationals, and we think of that great pitching all the time. But the injuries have taken a toll. There's a lot of names. I don't know who's playing for the Nationals anymore. And the East is kind of an interesting race. So let's get your take on the Nationals, first of all.
Yeah, first of all, I think, like you said, people who don't know this team, and even people who do know the team well, when you look at some of the lineups they've had to field here lately, with guys like Moises Sierra batting fifth, Andrew Stevenson batting sixth, Pedro Severino, the catcher, Wilmer Defoe all of a sudden starting at third base a lot. These are not the names that you expected and not the team that they expected to be fielding to start the year. They've been hit hard with three significant injuries in Adam Eaton, who had the ACL surgery last year, came back and was lights out for the first week plus of the season, and then re-injured his ankle and hasn't come back since. Anthony Rendon, their great third baseman, fouled a ball off his toe. They thought it would be a couple of days. The next thing I know, a week had passed and they decided we have to put him on the DL. And then Daniel Murphy, who had off-season knee surgery, and that was one that people kind of overlooked a little bit, didn't think it was going to be that significant because he had the whole off-season to recover. Well, he's still down in Florida at spring training, getting himself into shape, and they're going to take their time with all of these guys. They understand it's about the long haul, that's more important, but it's really impacting them from a lineup standpoint at the moment. They really get one or two opportunities a game to put together a rally, and if they don't deliver in those few spots, that seems to be their only chances, and that's why they're losing a lot of games in the 3-2, 4-3 range.
Good analysis here by Mark Zuckerman of Masson. Well, they do score runs, and usually it's Harper that's in the middle of it, but he's got more walks than anybody in baseball because Zimmerman behind him is not doing a darn thing. And that's kind of a surprise. He was fabulous last year, especially in the beginning of the season. So give me a little bit of Harper and Zimmerman, because that's your 3-4.
Yeah, and that should be, especially with the other guys out, what's carrying them. And what you're seeing is teams recognizing, hey, we're not going to let Bryce Harper beat us, especially when the guy behind him hasn't proven that he can come through in those spots. Now, you're right, Zimmerman had a fantastic year last year, over 336 homers, over 100 RBIs. The key to last season for Zim was he had a fantastic April. He was the April player of the month. National League, I think he hit 400 or something. And there was some controversy this spring because Zimmerman decided that in order to help protect his body, and he's gone through plenty of injuries in his career, that he wanted to avoid playing in Grapefruit League games. He only played in one. Now, he played pretty much every day on the backfield in minor league games, out of the public eye. Got a lot of at-bats that way, got his time in the field, but he didn't feel like he had to run hard, slide a lot, dive a lot. It took some criticism for it, and the thought was, well, let's see how the season starts. And if it works out, hey, this is great, proving that maybe you don't need 6 weeks of spring training. If it doesn't work out, boy, he's opening himself up to criticism, and that's what's happening right now. Now, do I believe that one has affected the other? We'll never know the answer to that. But it has compounded matter, certainly, and it's put them in a tough spot. And I know a lot of Nats fans have been saying, why isn't Davey Martinez hitting somebody else behind Harper? The problem is, look at those names I just mentioned to you earlier who are in the lineup right now. There isn't a real proven alternative, and that's why, another reason why they need these injured guys to come back.
Well, it's early, as they like to say, but yes, it can get late early, as the Giants proved that last year. The East is pretty good. The Phillies have their hands full with Arizona. Phillies are going to play some teams that are a little tougher coming up. The Giants are going to see the Phillies. The Giants are going to see Pittsburgh and Atlanta. Acuña is now up for Atlanta. So give me a little take on the National League East and even the Mets. Even though Harvey seems to be the story in the bullpen, the Mets will always figure one thing out to be a story. The East looks pretty good.
Yeah, and I think that was something coming into the season that even the Nationals knew, that the last couple years they were able to coast through and win the division. That wasn't going to be the case this year, even if the Nats got off to a good start. They knew that. They knew the Mets, if healthy, if their rotation was healthy, were really talented. Now, they haven't stayed healthy in the past couple years. So far they have. We'll see over the long haul. But that's a very talented team, obviously, and from a lineup standpoint, they've got guys who can hit the ball out of the park, and guys who strike out a lot. So it's sort of all or nothing with them. But I think the Nationals expect that team to be probably their toughest challenger all year. The Braves, who we've seen some and saw a little bit in spring training as well, there's a lot of young talent there, and a lot of that didn't come together last year. I remember watching Dansby Swanson a lot last year and thinking, he's got to be better than this. Yeah. Well, so far he's looking like he is. I saw Acuna a little bit this spring. You can see the wow factor there. Now we'll see once he gets a little bit of time in the big leagues and there's some adjustments that have to be made, how that will go. So I feel like the Braves have a chance but are still probably more looking down the road than immediately now. And the Phillies are a fascinating team to me. I actually picked them to be a wild card team coming into the season. I just kind of liked what they were doing, the young talent they had, being aggressive in signing Arrieta and Carlos Santana. The Nats haven't seen them in person yet. They're not going to see them, I think, till late May, which is a little strange for a division rival. But that is a team that you can certainly see the direction they're headed. And the situation right now, this is going to scare Nats fans, but the situation right now between the Nats and the Phillies reminds a lot of people of how it was reversed about 6 years ago when the Phillies were the beasts of the East and everybody thought they were going to run away with it. And then all of a sudden, 1 year, it flipped. And the Nats were a young team and they got hot and they took over the division. And the Phillies were an old team and fell, you know, down into a rebuilding mode. Now, the Nats aren't going to have to do a full rebuild, even if they lose Bryce Harper and all that. They have young talent. They have more coming up through the minors. But there's a little bit of sense of maybe the dynamic in the division, which has been pretty set for the last 6 years with the Nationals and sometimes the Mets in control, might be changing a little bit.
Boy, interesting analysis. This is going to be fun to watch this unfold in the National League East. Who's the rival for the Nationals? Who's the, 'cause you have great games with the Mets back and forth, and you just talked about the Phillies. Who's the rival for the Nats?
You know, it's kind of varied by year. There was a point there early on when the Phillies were still kind of thought of as the powerhouse, and the Nats overtook them, and that was sort of a rivalry. And then it became the Braves for a little while when they were their chief competitor. More recently, it has been the Mets, and certainly the at the peak of Harvey and DeGrom and Syndergaard versus Scherzer and Strasburg and Gio. That's kind of been high profile. So it, I think if you asked fans in D.C., they'd probably – that's a good question. They'd probably say the Mets and maybe even the Braves is the team they hate the most historically. The Braves and Nats have had some nasty stuff over the years. They do not like Bryce Harper in Atlanta at all. It's funny. You go on the road, and especially this year, some places you hear a mixture of boos and cheers, maybe from some fans who think that Harper might be playing for them someday. You don't hear that in Atlanta. They despise him. He doesn't like it there. I'd say just in a broader sense, probably the Braves are their biggest rival.
Right. I wouldn't have picked that. Very good. Interesting. Mark Zuckerman with us. One last question for you. Who gets booed the most as a visiting player coming into Washington?
Boy, that's a good one, too. It's a different kind of fan base. It's not that, you know, what you think of other East Coast towns, Boston, New York, Philly. It doesn't have quite that same intensity. Who gets booed the most among visiting players? I would say probably somebody with the Mets or the Braves. Maybe Freddie Freeman, but it's not because they dislike it. He's so good, and he hits about 400 against the Nationals that fans are just kind of fed up and frustrated with him. Well, Hunter Strickland actually is probably the guy nowadays, given his history with Bryce Harper. But there isn't. Maybe it's because the organization hasn't been around as long, and maybe just because the fan base is a little different. There isn't necessarily that that meanness that you sometimes find on the road in other cities.
Well, we see it here with Harper and Puig.
Yes.
If I had to answer the question here. Mark Zuckerman, great to have you with us. Nice to see you. Love catching up with you during the season. And, of course, we listen to you on Masson as well. So great to have you on. I appreciate it.
Thanks a lot, Marty. Good to talk to you.
All right. That's real good. Good baseball. More coming up. KMBR 680, the sports leader.